This Family Life News podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome aboard TikTok on the chopping block. The U.S. House has voted to force the social media app to divorce itself from Chinese ownership or risk an outright ban. The bill's sponsor, Florida Congresswoman Kat Kamick.
It's basically the equivalent of, would we have allowed Germany to control our radio stations and our newspapers during World War II? No.
Kamick says TikTok in its current form compromises national security and needs to be sold off. Correspondent Savannah Sellers has more from Capitol Hill.
Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are concerned about the potential for the Chinese government to access the data of TikTok's 170 million plus American users.
President Biden says he'll sign the measure into law if it reaches his desk, but it's not a done deal in the Senate. Ready for the rematch? Both Donald Trump and President Biden securing the delegates they need in primary elections last night to become their party's nominees in the 2024 race for the White House. Political pundit Larry Sabato says for Trump especially, this is quite an accomplishment.
It's relatively rare to have someone manage to win three national party presidential nominations in a row. After you lose even once, normally a party will move on.
Mark Thiessen with the Washington Post says for Trump to win in November, he needs to pick up Nikki Haley voters.
6 in 10 of those Nikki Haley voters say they won't vote for Trump in November. If even a fraction of those voters deliver on that promise, Trump loses. They're gettable. His problem isn't never Trump voters. It's not Trump again voters. It's people who like his policies, might have voted for him in the past, but are concerned about what a second term would look like.
The last presidential rematch, by the way, came in 1956 when Republican incumbent Dwight D. Eisenhower defeated Democratic challenger Adlai Stevenson, the same man that Ike had faced 4 years earlier. Her on the Hill. Special counsel Robert Hur yesterday defending his findings in President Biden's missing documents case at a House hearing on Capitol Hill.
We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials. We did not, however, identify evidence that rose to the level of proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
You exonerated him.
No, that did not exonerate.
Willful retention has a Mr. Hurd's my time.
The special counsel says despite deciding not to prosecute, he did not exonerate the president either. Media critic Joe Concha.
This is the beef that some have on the right with Robert Hur. How could one come to the conclusion that Joe Biden was too senile to stand trial, but he still gets to run the country?
Hur says his assessment of the president's mental acuity was relevant, accurate, and fair. American missionaries trapped in Haiti are worried that no one is coming for them. Thankfully, somebody has.
If Americans are abroad and they're in trouble, I'm going to come to their aid. And if Biden's not willing to do his job, I'll do it for him.
Florida Congressman Corey Mills helped rescue yesterday a group of Christian missionaries who were volunteering at an orphanage in Port-au-Prince.
This Have Faith orphanage had asked the State Department for support and help, and they said, we're preparing something for evacuation. What they didn't tell them is they were preparing their own evacuation.
They were
evacuating non-essential State Department personnel, but not the Americans.
Mills, a former member of the Army's 82nd Airborne Division, organized the daring overnight helicopter mission to free 10 trapped missionaries.
You know, I always look at the fact that if the government's not going to be willing to do its job, then America has to step up and do certain things that are required.
Haiti's descended into chaos as armed gangs run roughshod over Port-au-Prince. Those gangs control 80% of the city. Bodies on the streets of Port-au-Prince are piling up because there's no one to come and collect them. More menacing words from Moscow.
Russia will use nuclear weapons if its statehood, sovereignty, or independence are threatened. That's what President Vladimir Putin has told state television. In an interview released today, he said he hoped the U.S. would avoid any escalation that could trigger a nuclear war, but he said his nuclear forces are ready for it.
Correspondent Christopher Cruz, big news out of Britain today. The U.K.'s main public health authority says it will stop prescribing prescribing puberty blockers at gender clinics. The National Health Service is concerned about the long-term effect of those drugs on kids who are questioning their gender. Former Prime Minister Liz Truss.
I just think it's incredibly damaging for young people before they're able to make those decisions to take these drugs.
Puberty blockers delay or suppress the production of hormones in young people experiencing gender dysphoria. A new Pew Research poll shows 40% of today's teens admit they spend too much time on their smartphone. More than 70% say they find peace and happiness when they're not on their smartphone. CNET's Ian Shore says parents play a major role in their kids' smartphone use.
Pew also found that nearly half of teens say their parent is at least sometimes distracted by their phone. So some of this is about showing, not telling.
Which is to say, says Shore, if your nose is constantly stuck in your phone, chances are your kids will be as well. If you shop at Dollar Tree, yours could be closing. After missing quarterly profit projections, Dollar Tree laid out a plan today to shut down nearly 1,000 stores nationwide. Marauding rats are getting high on marijuana at the police headquarters in New Orleans. You can't make this stuff up. The city's police chief, Ann Kirkpatrick, was matter of fact about the rat reality at a recent city council meeting.
The rats eating our marijuana. They're all high.
Kirkpatrick says the critters are feasting on the drug in the evidence locker. Because of the marijuana-addicted rats, the city's granted police permission to relocate their headquarters there in New Orleans. Legendary Alabama football coach Nick Saban is weighing in on a major college sports controversy. He says paying student-athletes for their name, likeness, and image is ruining college sports.
All the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always was about developing players. It was always about helping people.
Former NFL player Jack Brewer says compensating college kids takes away from what college sports is all about.
It's literally year to year, moving school to school, going for a paycheck only. Once you start getting money involved, it's hard to pull it away.
Nick Saban retired this past season after guiding the Alabama Crimson Tide to 6 national titles. He also won a championship at LSU. Saban says the NIL controversy is why he is no longer coaching in college sports. Speaking of sports, 37-year-old Dallas Seavey has won Alaska's grueling Iditarod sled dog race for a record 6th time. He came from behind after a moose attack. The Iditarod spans 1,000 miles of Alaska wilderness near the Arctic Circle. Seavey finished this year's race in 9 days, 2 hours and 16 minutes. Still to come on the Noon Report, a midweek edition, SUNY Cortland reverses course. New details in line of duty death and plans to prevent serial shoplifting.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. The mild weather continues this afternoon, but soon the weather will turn wet. Later in the week, we've got some rain to talk about. Forecast details are up in 10.
All right, Kevin, we'll see you then. News where you live next. A big win for conservatives on the campus of SUNY Cortland in central New York. That school's Student Government Association has reversed course and will grant Turning Point USA recognition as an official club. The SGA had previously denied those students that right, and the club then sued. Turning Point spokeswoman Gabriella DiLorenzo.
Conservatives, they do have the same right to speak as any of, you know, their peers without fear of being silenced. Everyone should be free to speak without fear of their speech being shut down.
Despite the reversal, Turning Point's lawsuit remains active. It is looking to change the criteria by which SUNY Cortland approves or rejects campus clubs. New numbers are out today on Pennsylvania's prison population. 40,000 inmates are currently incarcerated within the State Department of Corrections. Experts note there's been a more than 7% rise in the prison population in PA since 2021. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has a game plan, she says, to crack down on organized retail theft. Here's reporter Scott Pringle.
A number of small business owners and lawmakers joined the governor in Albany to rally behind her proposal to put $25 million in the budget for a dedicated state police team to solely focus on retail theft.
All these entrepreneurs made a point to be here today to lend their time and their voices, because organized retail theft poses a real threat to their livelihoods.
Hochul is also promoting her proposed legislation that would increase criminal penalties for assaulting a retail worker, and also legislation to give prosecutors more tools to go after third parties reselling stolen goods online.
Some of the funds could be used by small businesses to hire extra security. We're learning more today about the tragic death of a Genesee County, New York sheriff's deputy. Sergeant Thomas Sanfratello was struck several times in the head with a chain and placed in a chokehold before passing away at Batavia Downs over the weekend where he was working at the time. Two suspects are in custody. Sanfratello was a 32-year veteran of the force. Calling hours are Friday at Genesee Community College. A funeral service will happen on Saturday. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson says over 8 million people from 160 countries have crossed illegally into this country since President Biden took office.
It's finally gotten to the point, and we've raised awareness of it, that even the Biden administration cannot continue to deny that this is a crisis.
Thompson thinks the president was wrong to express regret for how he characterized the illegal immigrant accused of murdering Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley.
The appropriate word for President Biden to use when at the State of the Union address should have been murder, because that's exactly what this guy was.
The president says he should have called that suspect who entered the country illegally in 2022 undocumented instead of the word he did use, which was illegal. A state legislator from Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, has proposed a bill to ban the practice of fluoridating public drinking water. Republican Representative Jason Ortita has health concerns about the practice and also says citizens should be allowed to make their own decisions about whether they want fluoride in their water. The CDC says fluoridation of public drinking water is cost-effective and efficient at reducing the number of cavities in kids. New York lawmakers want $90 million for religious schools to fight hate crimes. Here's Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
The move would double current security funds in the state budget, and it's a top priority for an interfaith coalition that includes Christian, Jewish, and Islamic schools. Both the state Senate and Assembly are expected to include the increased funding in their budget bills to be passed later this week before negotiating a final spending plan. The funding's typically used to hire security and install video surveillance. Attacks on Jews and anti-Semitic property crimes have skyrocketed since the Hamas attacks on Israel last October. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. President Biden's future presidential library might end up in central New York. It was revealed yesterday that Syracuse University is among several spots where the library could be built. Biden graduated from SU's law school in 1968. A Long Island roller derby team is the first to challenge Nassau County's transgender sports ban. Correspondent Sarah Lee Kessler.
The Roller Rebels, organized in Nassau County back in 2005, say they have no choice but to take legal action. This after County Executive Bruce Blakeman issued an executive order prohibiting women's teams with transgender athletes from competing at county-owned facilities. Blakeman isn't backing down despite the New York ACLU suing on the team's behalf.
They choose to try and bully their way onto girls and women's teams.
I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Let's talk more sports next. It's the 2-Minute Drill on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, there is a glimmer of hope in Buffalo that's growing as the Sabres handed Detroit their sixth straight loss. Buffalo now just 5 points behind the eighth and final playoff spot after dominating the Red Wings 7-3. Bowen Byram scored twice. Zach Benson had a goal and two assists for the Sabres, who are now 7-3-1 in their last 11 games. The Rangers won their third straight contest, shutting out Carolina 1-0. Adam Fox had the lone goal in the game. The Flyers edged the Sharks in Philly 3-2. Joel Farabee, Morgan Frost, and Owen Tippett all lit the lamp for Philadelphia. The woes of the Penguins continued in Ottawa as Pittsburgh dropped its seventh game out of their last eight. The Senators won this one in overtime, 2-1. Elsewhere, the Canadiens shut out Columbus 3-0. The Panthers edged the Stars 4-3. Minnesota 4-1 winners over Arizona. The Ducks fell to the Chicago Blackhawks 7-2. The Avalanche all over Calgary 6-2. And in overtime, the Golden Knights edged the Kraken 5-4. On the hardwood, the Knicks blew out Philadelphia 106-79. Josh Hart had a triple-double, scoring 20 points, grabbing 19 boards, and dishing out 10 assists. Jalen Brunson also scored 20. The Celtics keep on winning. They won big over the Jazz, 123-107. That is a look at sports.
Thanks, Randy. Still to come on the Noon Report, TikTok on the chopping block. How to friend today's teens and what it looks like to be a good Samaritan.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Over the last few years, more and more younger Christians have been encouraged to so-called deconstruct their faith. Often it begins with a well-known Christian author, pastor, musician, or public figure announcing that they're no longer a Christian. They make this announcement online to a large following, either on Twitter or X or YouTube, recounting why they are letting go of the core tenets of Christianity. Usually, it's in the name of inclusivity and tolerance that they embrace non-biblical views and lifestyles, particularly those having to do with sexuality and marriage, like same-sex marriage, transgenderism, or abortion. Young believers are encouraged to follow suit. There are countless stories of this. A teenager grows cynical about Christianity, citing school friends and social media stars who label biblical ethics as first optional and then totally irrelevant. Or a close friend that embraces same-sex marriage or LGBTQ ideology, claiming that affirmation is what Jesus would have done and the only compassionate response. Or a spouse who begins to claim that God's unloving to allow the kind of evil and suffering we see in the world, or that scripture is useful but it's not really authoritative, or maybe it's a small group leader using the latest social media controversy to judge and interpret scripture rather than the other way around. Now, if any of this sounds familiar, the name for it is deconstruction. It's impacting families and Christian communities everywhere. Well, thankfully, there's a new book that explains deconstruction for what it really is and helps Christians respond with grace and with wisdom. The authors are Elisa Childers and Tim Barnett. The title is The Deconstruction of Christianity, what it is, why it's so destructive, and how to respond. The book cuts through all of the confusion by defining deconstruction precisely, also explaining what makes it so appealing to so many and how it's a dangerous and contagious trend in so many churches. As Childers and Barnett write, quote, "One of the beautiful realities in Scripture is that we have permission to be real with God, even when that means expressing our frustrations, our worries, and our doubts," end quote. Ultimately, Elisa Childers and Tim Barnett point us beyond the discouragement of deconstruction to the rock-solid hope that we have in Christ. Only when Christians understand the entire story of God's world, rooted in the hope centered on Jesus Christ, can we engage the doubts, whether our own or others, from a place of confidence instead of fear or anger. This month, you can claim a copy of The Deconstruction of Christianity for a gift of any amount to the Colson Center. To make your gift, go to colsoncenter.org/march. That's colsoncenter.org/march. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Jared Hayden. And for more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org.
Thank you, John. Outside we go next, Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Partly sunny, mild, pleasant. High temperatures 60s, 50s near Lake Erie in Ontario. Then tonight, partly cloudy, low temps near 40. Tomorrow, some early sun, then clouding up. Some rain or showers will reach western New York and northwest Pennsylvania late, spread across the remainder of the region tomorrow night, and then depart Friday morning. High temperatures tomorrow, mid-50s to mid-60s. High temperatures Friday, upper 40s to the lower 60s.
Right, amazing stretch of weather we've been having. Thank you, Kevin. This is the Noon Report. I'm Bob Price. Lots going on Wednesday, March 13th. Imagine life without TikTok. It could happen if the social media site does not divorce itself from its Chinese owners. House lawmakers today voting in favor of a forced sale. What will that look like? Correspondent Scott McFarland.
The proposed bill requires TikTok's owner, China-based ByteDance, to separate itself, divest its itself from the Chinese government to prevent TikTok from being banned in U.S. app stores in the coming months.
Florida Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna.
This app has the potential of being a mass surveillance tool against American people.
The measure now moves to the Senate, where its fate is uncertain. President Biden says he'd sign it if it reached his desk. Former President Trump says the measure passed in the House today will give too much power to Facebook. Turning to politics, are you ready for the rematch? Looks like it's going to happen. Reporter Gabe Gutierrez.
Overnight, President Biden and former President Trump officially clinched their party's nominations with primary victories in multiple states, setting up a high-stakes rematch in what's expected to be a bitter, costly, and lengthy general election campaign battle.
After posting lopsided wins in four states last night, Trump spoke to supporters from his home in Florida.
We'll celebrate in 8 months when the election is over. November 5th will go down as the most important day in the history of our country.
Political scientist Larry Sabato says for President Biden to win, he needs to hit Trump where it hurts. That may involve slinging some political mud.
Going after Trump and clearly spelling out the dangers of a second Trump term.
The 2024 race for the White House marks the first time since 1956 that the same two candidates faced off against each other in back-to-back elections. Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt thinks the economy will trump the abortion issue in driving traffic to the polls in November. Right now, says Schmidt, the economy's not looking too good.
Everything at the grocery store is essentially 20% more expensive because inflation is cumulative, right? It takes place over time. People are feeling it every time at the grocery store. Energy costs are about 30% higher. Real wages are down by 5%. What does that mean? That's about $1,000 a month taken out of people's pockets.
Higher gas prices were a big factor in the latest inflation report out yesterday. It shows the price we pay for the stuff we buy was higher last month than it was the month before. Crime is also a big factor in motivating voters this year. And in California, crime is out of control. It's so bad that Taco Bell was forced to close four of its five restaurants in the city of Oakland.
You can't, you know, enjoy your meal in the comfort of the place you bought your meal in. What is this Oakland coming to?
Other fast food restaurants are leaving Oakland altogether due to the crime crisis. Taco Bell customers will only be able to use the drive-thru from now on in Oakland. A team of U.S. Marines has been sent to the capital of Haiti to protect our embassy from armed criminals who've run roughshod over Port-au-Prince. Reporter Christian Benavidez.
Weeks of gang violence have endangered the streets of the nation's capital and displaced thousands of people. The ongoing unrest has left some Americans in Haiti, like missionary Jill Dolan, stranded.
When we've contacted agencies to extract us, they have just said it's way too dangerous where you are. You have to stay put.
Florida Congressman, former U.S. Army soldier Corey Mills led a rescue mission to Haiti overnight, where 10 American missionaries were freed. Mills has started a not-for-profit that goes into global hotspots all over the world to get American citizens to safety. He's done something like this before in war-torn Afghanistan. The police chief of Uvalde, Texas has resigned after a city report exonerated his department in the delayed response to the Robb Elementary School massacre.
Police Chief Daniel Rodriguez resigned just hours before he was expected to face those families at a city council meeting.
Danny has resigned.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. The coward's way out, just like his officers.
Rodriguez, who spent 26 years with the department, stepped down less than a week after a local investigation defended the police department's response to the school shooting.
They stood there 77 minutes and waited.
The city's report found that local officers shouldn't be punished since they followed orders and were not properly trained, contradicting previous state and federal reports, which called the law enforcement response a failure.
Investigators are still trying to determine the cause of a massive house explosion near Pittsburgh. An elderly couple was killed. The blast was felt from miles away.
I just felt the shake, and I thought, did we have an earthquake?
The best way to describe it is like a sonic boom, a blast.
There were things flying through the air all over the place.
At least two other homes were damaged. The fire chief says there was a private gas well on the property in Crescent Township, as well as propane tanks. A Florida man recovering today after a tapeworm laid eggs in his brain.
A case report published last week says the 52-year-old patient recently told doctors he had been suffering from persistent migraines. A CT scan found tapeworm eggs festering in the man's brain. Doctors believe believe the parasite infestation was caused by the man's habit of eating undercooked bacon, which could contain the microscopic eggs of pork tapeworms. The case report says the man was treated with antiparasitic medications and appears to be on the road to recovery. I'm Michael Kastner.
And a new study by the Pew Research Center shows 95% of today's teenagers have access to a smartphone. Nearly 40% admit they spend too much time on that smartphone. Over 70% say they would find more peace and happiness if they were not tethered to their smartphone. Well, next at noon, how today's young people are making friends and how us older folks can friend them. We're talking about the Gen Zers out there. It's the focus of today's Inside Out feature report.
Gen Z has a reputation for being antisocial, tech addicted, and disconnected. But these same 11 to 26-year-olds are also looking for friends, according to today's guest. And that's what we're going to talk about here on Family Life's Inside Out, where we look at how God transforms his people from the inside out. I'm Martha Menikas Foster here on Inside Out, and my guest is Kirsten Franzi, the author of the 2023 Gospel Coalition article titled, Gen Z is Looking for Friends. Kirsten, you say that it's a powerful thing in a teen or a young adult's life when someone takes time to develop a relationship, a friendship. What needs might this kind of friendship fill?
We were designed by God to experience him when we're in fellowship with other believers, believers of all ages. However, I find that with Gen Z, we tend to assume they're really only interested in interacting with their peers.
Uh-huh.
Yet this age group tends to experience a lot of change and emotional instability due to the way they're developing. And so it's really hard, and they're eager for a wise, non-parental figure to care enough to listen to their challenges and offer encouragement. This kind of relationship fills a need for wise guidance in life that they really do want, but maybe there are some things that are hard to discuss with their parents. We don't want them feeling like they have no one to turn to and are on their own to figure out an issue, or worse, Google it. If you think about teachers, they make such an impact on students, right? Because they tend to be that kind of figure in a student and young adult's life. But
sure,
that influence doesn't have to be confined to teachers. God has placed us in the vicinity of the lives of Gen Zers in a lot of other ways. So we have a great opportunity there.
Mm. Well, what do you think holds back people who are older than this age group? What is it that's making it hard for us to reach out naturally?
I think in general, there are three pretty typical reasons. One, older generations, and by older, I really mean like 30 and above,
uh-huh,
often think high schoolers and young adults don't care about a relationship with them and aren't interested. Two, they can be intimidated about reaching out to students and young adults because they're not sure how to relate. I hear that often. They're just not sure how to meet them where mm-hmm they're at. Three, they're too busy. So often this can happen, I mean, with anybody, with jobs, but with young moms as well, who want to invest in a student's life, but there's not going to be a time for a while that they can offer a normal conversation without kids tugging at their sleeves and interrupting.
Right.
But that's okay. These relationships don't have to look perfect. Sometimes it will just look different depending on the stage of life you're in. I sat in a young mom's living room on the floor with her in high school while her kids interrupted us all the time, but I didn't care because she cared about me. So I wanted to be there in her world.
So for those of us outside of Gen Z, if we started praying to be open to be hospitable to whatever people God brings into our lives, what might hospitality look like to a member of Gen Z? You've mentioned just inviting somebody in when you're playing with your own children. Can you give us some more practical ways that we might engage with people in Gen Z?
It really comes down to just showing that you care. Pray about and consider who God has placed in the regular routines of your life, because they're there for a reason, right? Remember their name. Say hi to them on Sunday or wherever you see them regularly. Ask them questions like how their exam went, how sports are going, how developing friendships is going in their freshman year of college. Find out what's important to them, like what makes them light up, and just take an interest in it, because they'll be surprised that someone even cares enough to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps show up to a musical they're in or a sports event. I had a mentor in high school just show up at a speech I gave at my graduation. That was a big deal that she just came, right? Ask them how you can pray for them, too. That's a good one. When you have conversations with a student or young adult, it doesn't always have to be deep where they share all their biggest struggles with you. I find that sometimes people are discouraged if they're not opening up. for a lot of students and young adults, they probably won't open mm-hmm. up for a while.
Okay.
That doesn't mean they don't appreciate you. My husband had a mentor who was so good at just hanging out with him and his buddies and playing games, talking about their favorite football team, just being present with them. He was willing to just spend his time.
Uh-huh.
When you enjoy being with them too, just to be with them, it shows them that you'll care about the deeper stuff. You'll be there when there's fun, and you'll be there when there's deeper things too. So over time, when something in their life comes up, they'll know that you're someone who will care about it. There are young moms at church too that have seen me and just said, I would love to get to know you more sometime. And that kind of leaves the ball in their court, the student, so that they can reach out back to you if they are interested in that. So there are a few ways that you can just talk to them, reach out to them, or let them know that you'd like to spend time with them.
How to friend a Gen Zer. That's Kirsten Franzi with the Gospel Coalition. This is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, on the weather map, we're looking at an area of high pressure producing the pleasant weather we're seeing today, and it looks like that pleasant weather will carry us into tonight. But there is a front coming in from the west, and that will combine with a piece of energy that's going to produce a big snowstorm in Colorado to bring our area rain later this week and cooler weather as well. In the meantime, for this afternoon, partly sunny, mild, pleasant, high temperatures 60s, 50s near Lake Erie in Ontario. Then tonight, partly cloudy, low temps near 40. Tomorrow, some early sun, then clouding up. Some rain or showers will reach western New York and northwest Pennsylvania late, spread across the remainder of the region tomorrow night, and then depart Friday morning. High temperatures tomorrow, mid-50s to mid-60s. High temperatures Friday, upper 40s to the lower 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Things starting to green up fast out there. Spring weather right around the corner. And finally, if you've ever wanted to do good in this world, well, today's the day to do it. Family Life's Brian Querry tells us what being a Good Samaritan looks like in 2024.
National Good Samaritan Day is celebrated March 13th every year. It's a day to celebrate and encourage kindness and selflessness despite our differences. The day commemorates a 1964 tragedy in New York where it's believed bystanders could have saved a woman who was a victim of a crime. Most of us are familiar with the parable of the Good Samaritan in the scriptures, where Jesus tells about the traveler who is ignored but eventually tended to by a passing Samaritan. On this day, we're reminded to not only be a receiver, but also lend a helping hand to as many people as possible. Open the door for a stranger, tip a waitress, or smile at the next person you pass by on the street. Reminisce of the moments that someone showed you an act of kindness or helped you during a difficult situation, no matter how small or big it may have been. Because remember, it doesn't cost a thing to be kind, and helping others in need is priceless. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
All right, thank you for that, Brian. And that's the world we live in. Wednesday, March 13th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.